Fountains of living water are breaking forth. We welcome you to partake of this great blessing through the spoken word of God through His servant. Be blessed.
God bless you. You're welcome in Jesus' name. Good morning, everybody. Okay, we give God thanks for this year, the beginning of this year. Today is Thanksgiving service, and we come with an attitude of thanksgiving, an act of gratitude to God, and how God has begun us this year. And I want to particularly thank God for the shofar, for the Lord bringing forth, you know, the shofar is like a prophetic meeting, a prophetic gathering, a prophetic convocation to declare the mind of God to us season after season. And I thank the Lord for bringing His mind clearly to us. Some of you know the Lord has been very clear, you know, and I want to thank the Lord for that. I am grateful to Jesus for the grace that He has brought to us in the unveiling of the Word and causing the people of God to come into clearer sight. Can we say amen? Okay, so this morning I'll build on what I've been teaching in the past 3 weeks. And this is a very deep burden of the Spirit. The whole understanding of what I call the whole counsel of God, maintaining balance in our journey towards God. You know, that word balance, we should not hate the word. It's a good word for us. Can we say amen? I've heard a lot of fathers, dispensational fathers at different levels mention that word. You know, I've heard Kenneth Hagin, the late Kenneth Hagin, a great father in the faith, talk about being stable in spiritual journey, or spiritual development, not going to the left or the right. When men like that talk about it, it means that those realities, they exist. I've also heard, I'm sure maybe Joyner or Bob Jones also talk about it. I think even it was Bob Jones that had an experience, prophetic experience, illustrating what Kenneth Hagin said. He had a prophetic experience of how Satan has always assaulted dispensational moves of God based on the fact that, you know, the enemy tilts people either to the other side. And when he takes you to the other side, I think in that Bob Jones experience, there were rabid dogs at each corner of the divide. So if you move too much to the extreme, you'll be beaten. Okay, so it is apostolic wisdom, prophetic insight, prophetic insight. You know, there's something called insight. We fetch insight from the dealings of God in the past. And like I've told you severally, that apart from the fact that the Bible itself, apart from being a doctrinal book, okay, when I mean the doctrines of God or the teachings of God are archived in the scriptures, another thing that we see in the Bible is the historical dealings of God with men. Can we say amen? Amen. Historical dealings of God with men. You'll see in the Bible that there are historical dealings of God with men. That's why God documented His dealings with men. The reason why God did that is so that we can learn from them. Can we say amen? If not, the story of Abraham will not be in the Bible. The story of Moses will not be in the Bible. The story of David will not be in the Bible. The story of the kings that ruled Israel will not be in the Bible. The story of the judges that led Israel will not be in the Bible. Even the story of Israel. You know, Israel is a type of the church. Okay? What Israel was in the Old Covenant is what the New Testament church is now. And Paul was the one writing that all those dealings that God had with the nation of Israel, which was the church in the Old Testament, they all culminate, or they all come, they form a spiritual ideology that becomes a standard for us today. Can we say amen? Amen. You know, I like the way I say, all these things happened unto them for what? For examples. And they are written, you can see. I even believe that we have to document. We have come into that season. I began to talk to my wife. We said, we have to begin to document some of the things that God, you know, documentation is not just for the purpose of, you want people to hear what you're saying. Thank God for that. The documentation is that you also preserve the dealings of God in your midst, because There are other generations too that will learn from it. Okay? So I began to think about that also. The Lord will help us. Look at that. It says, they are written for what? Our admonition upon whom the end of the world has come. So that's why we are bringing this teaching. Okay? So we approach, you know, as we're approaching the Lord, this year, I want us to approach the Lord with this heart where we are people that are holistic, well-grounded, well-rounded. Can we say amen? Not just well-grounded, well-rounded. Okay, meaning we have the wisdom to apply the word of God properly. Now, in my dealings also as a leader and as a pastor, I found out that at times, the problem is not even declaration of the word. Apart from getting sound, to actually teach sound doctrine is actually a whole lot of mercy. But apart from that, it's still possible to apply what was taught rightly wrongly. I have seen that many times. And that's why we need a whole lot of wisdom. That is where wisdom, counseling, oversight comes in. Okay? And we must give wisdom and proper counseling. You know, the onus, you know, rests on the pastors that we need to be wise people to make sure people are well counseled on the word so that the word of God is properly interpreted in their lives. Can we say amen? Amen. I've told you that at times, error may not be in doctrine. Error may be in spirit, in heart posture. Okay? Of course, the purpose of doctrine, let's see first, is this 2 Timothy chapter 3? Let me just begin this way. The purpose of doctrine is to correct the heart and free the heart of errors, wrong positions. But it's possible to preach what is right and still have, you know, wrong heart postures in the heart. It is very possible. Okay? And so that's why we are teaching this way. It is with wisdom to go into gray areas. I found that in my own experience and dealing with God. And I thank God for God giving me the opportunity to experience several things. By the grace and mercy of God, I've been part of several denominations. Okay? And several awakenings also. And I've learned a lot. Satan normally stay in gray areas. What I call gray areas. Gray areas are not clear, black and white. And those areas, what they require is wisdom for proper interpretation. Satan will go and stay there and make sure that people will wrongly interpret the word. Can we say amen? Amen. So we need a lot of wisdom. Can we say wisdom? Wisdom. I can't hear you. The delivery of the word must come with the spirit of wisdom. The delivery of the word must come with so much spirit of wisdom, with ways of God, for the people of God to be properly grounded and they sound, not just in doctrine, they are sound in their lives. They are sound. Actually, sound doctrine should produce sound lives. Can we say amen? Amen. People that are sound, they are wiser than evil spirits. Hallelujah. So it says, it's not this. It says, no. You flashed it. For all scripture. Okay? Take me there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Look at that. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine. So the first thing scripture is for doctrine. Can we say amen? Or teaching there are apostolic systems that are established in scripture. Okay? So the first thing, scripture is for doctrine, but look at the other things. It's also what? For reproof. I like the word reproof. So scriptures are also given for what? Reproving. So we have to reprove ourselves over and over again. Can we say amen? When we are reproving ourselves, we should not feel that, why are we reproving ourselves? That's not a good heart. Because we should not trust ourselves too much. We should trust God. We should not trust ourselves. We should trust God because we are still prone to, you know, excesses here and there in both delivery of the word and in both interpretation of the word. So we have to regularly go to the standard. You know, we are not the standard. The Lord Jesus is the standard. The word of God is the standard. So the word of God must regularly reprove our hearts. I'm not hearing that. Can we say amen to that? Then also for correction. If you find out that, you know, amen. For correction. Look at that. Correction. I like the word correct. So they have to correct us. God must correct us. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And what? For what? Instruction in what? Righteousness. So this is, you can see, You can say apostolic wisdom, that the man of God or the people of God what may be perfect. So perfection comes through the delivery of doctrine in all sides. And at times, the word of God will come as instruction. The word of God will come as correction. The word of God will trim excesses and give us proper wisdom to interpret it. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Okay, so let me continue from where I stopped last week. Okay, so we have been saying that the whole counsel of God is the holistic delivery of the word, okay, from the basics of the truth of the scriptures, what we call the milk of the word, to the full spectrum of God's word, okay? So when Paul says, we talked about, I've not shown to declare to you the whole counsel of God, it is apostolic wisdom. Apostolic wisdom is to build the saints line by line, precept on precept, wisdom on wisdom, systematic delivery of truth, and the systematic building of believers. When the saints are being built, it has to be systematic. Can we say amen? Truths have to be properly arranged in your soul. Now, I've understood that well. Because you see, if it's not, as long as there's a gap somewhere, that gap will be where Satan will explore. I don't know how evil spirits know. Okay, but evil spirits always know when we are not thorough. Pastor, have you ever noticed that? It is that place that you are not thorough that they come through. They put pressure there. They attack us through that place. So, anytime we are building, we build with a sense of wisdom. Can we say amen? Amen. Even in your life, you have to be very thorough with truth. Thorough with the truth, application of truth in your life. Allowing the word of God to take the right places in your life. Okay? So, the whole counsel of God is that delivery. We saw that. Wherefore, I take you on record this day that I'm pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare what? Unto you the whole counsel of God. Now what the whole counsel of God is, the all purposes of God. And like I've taught you before, all the purposes of God are tied to doctrine. What did I say? So for milk, there's a measure of God's purpose in milk, but that's not all the purposes of God. And as we build with truth and doctrine, the purpose of the Lord comes into fullness. So God's desire is that the church comes into wholeness. Can we say amen?
Amen.
When we say wholeness or balance, now let me correct it. When we say balance, balance is coming into wholeness. That's what balance is. Balance means perfection. Actually, the original Hebrew word means to be properly distributed. And so you are not balanced if you are not growing up. You are not balanced if you are not maturing. You are not balanced if the progressive work of God is not being done in your soul. Can we all say amen to that?
Amen.
Is to have the proper understanding of the treasures of God to be evenly distributed in us, properly distributed in us. And I noticed that the way apostles wrote scripture, when you look at the architecture of epistles, they are written in such format. You see, you know, there was one time Pastor Friday was asking me that, Pastor, how do you do it that, you know, at times, you know, when you are teaching, you touch all areas. You touch milk, you touch Christ, you move into everlasting life. I said, that is apostolic wisdom. Okay? Because inside one epistle, you know, one epistle is written for a church, and inside that one epistle, sir, epistle of Ephesians can feed everybody. Inside one epistle. There are children in that church. It's that same epistle they are reading. They are those that are, you know, becoming spiritually mature. They are those that are coming into fatherhood in things everlasting. They are reading one epistle. So we must have that wisdom. Can we say amen? So that's how apostles build. They built with such wisdom where in one epistle, the all meals of God are compressed. And then it is now fetched out to you at your different level based on what you need per time. Now, the next thing you see about apostolic epistles, the way they wrote, is that they now eventually apply doctrine to living. What did I say they do? They apply doctrine to living. How we live on earth matters to God. And we need to correct our mentality. The kingdom life is beyond attending meetings. Kingdom life is to demonstrate conversation of God in the body. And to demonstrate conversation of God on the earth. That is why God is equipping us. So you see apostles, they will teach the word, it will touch our relationships. It's very vital. Meaning if the doctrine is not being proved in relationship, there's something wrong. It's either the doctrine is not sound or the people are not sound. Then you see apostles apply doctrine to marriage, doctrine to parenting, doctrine to relationship with your bosses, very thorough. Doctrine in relationship to your physical nation. No New Testament apostle taught you to be disobedient to your kings. Even in the times when they were emperors and wicked leaders leading those nations. You could see validation. Peter would say, honor all men. Honor the king. So you can see, God's systems are so beautiful. Can we say amen? So I'm just showing you. So that's why we teach the way we teach. Okay, so we are properly sound. Okay? Like I've said, I told some of, I don't know what I was telling last week. I said, one of the greatest assaults on the church are religious devils. And we need to be aware of them. They are very wicked in twisting truth. They know how to read. At times they may not be successful to twist doctrine, but they can be successful to twist the mind, not to see doctrine well. They do that a lot. Or to wrongly interpret things. Okay? And we are here to make sure that the people of God are sound. So from time to time, we'll be trimming off excesses, believe me. We should be comfortable with that. Can we say amen? We should be willing to allow the Lord to judge us. You should want to judge yourself, self. When I say judge yourself, bring yourself under the scrutiny of God's standards. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? Most movements that were judged by other people in the church is because they didn't allow themselves to be judged by God. At times, God will send correction to you first. If you don't agree, he will raise some other people to correct you. So oftentimes, we need to understand that. That if the Lord is bringing his standards to correct us, we should be corrected. Can we say amen? Amen. If not, God will raise somebody. He will raise somebody. Okay, he always does that. Okay, so let's go ahead. So last week, I began to talk about learning to judge the signs of winds of doctrine. Okay, for us, we need to have those systems properly installed in us. Okay, and I said that, the first thing I said last week, I said we must learn to judge carefully doctrines that are termed new or not rooted in the New Testament emphasis. Okay, in my own work with God, I've come to see many, many things that are called new thing. By the time you check it, it's not in the Bible. No biblical base, no New Testament base. And how do you know that? It's not a consistent declaration in scripture. It's not an emphasis by Jesus, not an emphasis by the apostles. There's no ground for it. So you know that is a wind of doctrine. And Satan is an expert in making sure that from season after season, there are winds of doctrine. Okay, so we said that last week. The next thing I said is that we must learn to judge truths that don't follow scriptural accuracy and context. We must learn to judge truths that don't follow scriptural accuracy and you see that contexting is very, very important. One of the areas that the enemy has stood in the church is to make us teach things out of context. So we will just go, we'll go and take one scripture, and use it. The Lord shall supply on my knees according to the glory of God. Hallelujah. That's the end. But you don't read the whole chapter. That scripture does not just apply that way. It applies within a context. Can we all say amen? So we need to understand context. Can we say context? Maybe some other time I might just do a Bible study on it. Understand context. You can't just take a scripture out and use it like that. Okay? At times, maybe prophetically, God can use a scripture to minister to you. Okay, but when it comes to doctrine is different. Doctrine is always in context. Like I'm going to address some things concerning prosperity. For instance, biblical prosperity should not be taken outside the context of the prosperity of the soul. Once you do that, you have already created a premise for error. Biblical prosperity is not outside the context of the prosperity of the soul. Once you take it out and treat it as a separate subject, it becomes Gentilic. Totally taken away by the spirit of the world. So you must understand context. Same thing with gifts and fruits. Context. Paul said, and that's why contexts are also arranged according to what I call the apostolic emphasis or scale of preference. or the order of truth. There's a way truth is ordered. It's the wisdom of God. You cannot disarray it. If you do it, it will become something else. Huh? Okay? Thank you for this scripture. It says, but covet best the best gifts. But I'll show you a more excellent way. Then in chapter 14, it says, pursue love. Follow after charity. And desire what? Spiritual gifts. This is not just English. This is order. Yes, to be safe, for you to desire the best gifts he talked about in chapter 12, yes, the emphasis must be what? Charity. Yes, when you follow love, you can now use the gifts well. A man that is not being built with the systems of God's love, he was talking about charity, will use gifts wrongly. Now, I was telling, amen, I want to say this because I'm concerned also of the body. At times, I'm concerned about the quality of ministers that are churning out today. Oh, the quality of ministers that are being churned out today. You don't see so much humility, even in the demonstration of authority. And I say this not criticizing anybody, but with just concern for the body of Christ. So I now agree that we measure God has withdrawn some level of power and authority, power gifts. Yes, he did. You see, believe me, many of the things we are seeing is noise. We have more noise than stuff. People will tell you what happens in bonking crusades. The miracles that happen in bonking crusades, they know they mouth them too much. When you are there, somebody was there. I've heard someone, was it Pastor Friday? He said, people's eyes were just popping up. And you see bonky. When you see bonky, you see humility. You see humility. So God can trust such a man with that level of power. Same thing with T.L. Osborne. When you see T.L. Osborne, go and get any T.L. Osborne video. Just look at him. Just looking at him minister, you will be convicted. Thank you. You see holy men. You see, men, that for you to pick pride, it will be hard. I am concerned about the kind of ministers that are being churned out today. There was one that me and my wife heard. I just stumbled upon it, and both of us said, that was the response. That was the response. The Lord will help us. So truth has to be delivered in the right context, okay? When you pursue love. Now, like I've told you, the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, they are not in competition. They are two sides of the same coin. You cannot de-emphasize gifts, and you'll be accurate. Gifts are supposed to bear witness to the message, to the word. That's what they do. They are auxiliary gifts to bear witness to the message. That's what they do. Gifts of the Spirit, listen to this. They are not designed to walk on their own. The way the Lord designs it is that they are advertising the message. And that's why we need them. Can we say amen? They need to be flowing consistently in our lives and in our assemblies as we respond to spiritual growth. Okay? However, they are not in competition with the fruits of the Spirit. Okay? You can have gifts, you can have powerful gifts, and you will have poor formation of fruits. And because of that, you will not witness to the Lord well. And then if you see any assembly that they de-emphasize gifts, they will be limited. Like those that don't believe in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. Or maybe we'll shut down prophecy. We can shut down prophecy. There are some assemblies that you can't prophesy. If you pro anything, you see, when the Spirit is catching, now, and that is an excess. Because what many people will say is that the reason why they shut it down was because it entered into excess. Now, yes, there can be disorderliness. In fact, all the time, I said this year, I will still teach on proper administration of those gifts, particularly prophecy. Yes. At times when, four or five people are prophesying at the same time. I've taught you before. Paul says two or three. So when somebody is prophesying, you have to wait. And because our desire is to get what? The message. So if you are thinking of only the Spirit that is moving you, And one sister has prophesied. Another sister has prophesied. We need to also give opportunity for an interpreter so that we can bring edification to the assembly. But if you now want to just prophesy, you are just thinking about yourself. It was in that context that Paul says that the spirit of the prophet is what? Subject to the prophet. Just calm down. Amen. And if the spirit that is upon you has moved through your sister, you will know. The thing will relieve you. And don't now form prophecy. You know, you can form tongue. Ababa, ababa, heba, ababa. You can do it. You know, there's nothing flesh cannot do. Everybody will know that this was flesh, the tongue is. Because even the interpreter will not have grace to interpret it. That's why you know that. So, but because of excesses, you cannot shut down gifts. You cannot shut down prophecy because of excesses. There are some assembly you can't prophesy. If you want to prophesy, you will have to leave. The usher will bond you out. You go and prophesy to the air. After you finish prophesying, you can come in. Be very careful. So, is it that we have limitation or lawlessness? That's what that one extreme is lawlessness. Another extreme is what? Limitation. Can we say amen? And I said that when we follow scripture, we will not miss it. When we follow scripture, Paul says, despise not prophesying. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. So we have to create room for prophesying. Okay? But we must put order so that it's not wrongly used. Can we say amen? I'm not hearing your amen. Okay? So that's the next thing I said. The third thing I said last week, I think I stopped on the third burden, is... Okay, I think I stopped at the second burden. So let's go to the third burden, okay? Number three, we need to judge carefully teachings that de-emphasize the cross or true process. We need to judge teachings that de-emphasize the cross or true process and promises instant breakthrough. We need to judge carefully teachings that de-emphasize true process or the cross, okay? And promises instant breakthrough or instant prayer. Instant. When you start seeing that instant thing, we need to be able to look at it a little bit and be careful. And those are the things that will pull many of us, because you may look at this Pastor Dimeji, though, he's not an instant man. I need instant breakthrough in my life. So if you want instant things, don't listen to Pastor Dimeji. He's a man of process. Okay? Now, on the most basic, level, I need to remind you that there are things that are freely given to us. Can we all say amen? And what I mean that there are things that are freely given to us, there are things that are given to us as benefits of salvation or the new birth experience. There are things that are given to us that are benefits of the new birth experience. Okay? And I thank God for that. The authority of a believer. Authority over demonic spirits. Divine prosperity. Healing, divine health, protection. Hallelujah. We have all those things that are attached to faith in the name of Jesus. Okay? I believe in that. I believe in healing, in deliverance, in prosperity, in health, in protection, in authority over evil spirits. I believe in the operation of gifts of the Spirit and the demonstration of the same. Can we say amen? So on the most basic things, we have that. But in the kingdom of God, maturity is a product of a constant and steady growth. Maturity is a product of a constant and steady growth. And it is demonstrated through a process. You don't grow overnight. You see, any Christian that is looking for instant breakthrough will enter into error. That's when you meet a false prophet that will now dupe you. It's because you are looking for something that is instant. You see, there are things that they don't, there are things in your life that you cannot negotiate. You cannot negotiate a constant great daily walk with God. You cannot negotiate that one. And know that you cannot, for instance, negotiate a constant prayer life. That is the reason why Christians will be hooked on an online prayer platform. Yeah. We don't disrespect to any minister. That is why they'll be hooked on it. Because I am wondering, how will you have a personal prayer life If your understanding or reality of prayer is to say amen every morning online to a prayer, there is no way. You can never know God. Oh, le malon, sir. You can never know God. We were taught to pray. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. So if you are devoting that platform to teach people to pray, I'm okay. But if you are, there is nothing called prayer merchants in the kingdom. There are no prayer merchants. You see all those things, they will make believers become dependent on a system that eventually will work against the church. And that's why we have a lot of immature believers. They can't discern left from right. And even as pastors, we need to be careful. If you come and meet me at times, you ask me, what should I do? I'll tell you, go and pray. If you know me very well. What has God told you? It begins from there. Because somebody that does not know left from right, is an issue. Basic leading of the spirit. Those are the things we're taught to know. How to read the Bible, how to pray. Those are the things that the SU movement brought. So many of our fathers today that are giants in the faith, many of them got born again while they were in secondary school. It was the SU leaders that gave them foundation. People like Bishop Oyedepo. And one of the things that SU brought to Christendom was quiet time. May the Lord bless them. Amen. They brought quiet time. That time where you pray and you study the word. Today we have replaced it with online prayer. People don't have quiet time anymore. They just connect online. They are looking for instant prayer life. So you don't have a prayer life. You are looking for a prayer machine. A minister that is a prayer machine that will pray for you. Just be saying amen. Now, I'm not against online platforms that, you know, I'm not against digital technology that causes us to pray. I'm only saying that there's something I am addressing. Dependence on the system for prayers. You know, there's a discipline that comes by you learning to pray. I know that thing. Waking up by yourself to pray. That discipline, you can never negotiate it. No minister can replace that in your life. And I can tell you, ministers are not Jesus Christ. No minister should stand in the way of where Jesus is. A believer must be taught how to talk to God. So if we have prayer platform teaching people how to pray, I would really like that. Can we say amen? At times in the morning, when we are jogging with my wife, after we have, you know, done our devotion at times, we just walk. You'll be seeing people, amen, amen, on the road. Sincerely. Amen. 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 I'm saying, wala wasa. And the ministry goes overnight on that. It's okay. So no instant prayer or breakthrough will replace a genuine process in the life of a believer. No instant prayer or breakthrough can replace a steady prayer life, a steady study life. Never. So if you want to grow, you better start trusting God to grow daily. To study the Bible daily. To pray daily. You are looking for instant prayer. You know, we will be doing it in my back. But I will catch you one day. Because that's not what I'm teaching you. Some of us like easy things. Nothing can replace that. And there are some breakthroughs that maybe you got something, does not mean that there are many things. God told me this. He told me one time. He said, you can bridge currents. You know what it means to bridge currents? You know at times when you want to tap currents, you don't go through NEPA. You go and call engineer Soji. What electrician that is in your house, just come and connect. We just do illegal connection. Everybody say illegal connection. We have illegal connection in the spirit. You know, when you do illegal connection, does light enter your house? But is it legal? If NEPA catch you, what will happen? You go pay fine. There are many illegal things that we do in church. Result is not a proof of legality. Result is not a proof of legality. The fact that you got the result, you got that breakthrough, you got that miracle, does not mean it was proper. May God show us mercy. That's the only reason why we can keep arguing today in the church that a sorcerer is a true prophet. Because he had results. But we know that behind that is what pure sorcery. manipulation of all sorts. But because we majored on, at a particular time in Christendom, we emphasized on results as a proof of ministry. Satan took that as an advantage. So he started raising bad boys that had results. He took her. So if it's about results, we have results. We have miracle. We have crowd following us too. So tell us that we are false. And the Bible did not say by their gifts we shall know them. It didn't say by their miracles we shall know them. It didn't say by their results you shall know them. It says by the what? Their fruits. What they produce. Not just what they produce. The kind of believers that they are raising. Quality of lives. Can we say amen to that? So we need to understand that nothing can replace a progressive growth in your life. If you want change in 2024, ask God to give you discipline to grow daily. It should be your prayer point. You want change. You will say, by December, I want to see changes in my life. Start telling God to help you in January to begin to be diligent in prayer, diligent in obeying God. If it's that you are praying, even if it's 30 minutes every day, it is something. By yourself. Oh. Not be the one they say, not be instant prayer. You know, by the time you do that for 1 year, you'll have grown. Then in 2025, you can increase it to 1 hour. Can we all say amen? Nobody is saying amen with me. You know, I started knowing the insurance. That's why I know that some people make ministry out of being a prayer merchant. So you mobilize them. Ministers say, we need to pray for you. Say, so we need mobilization fee. Prayer. Everybody should know how to pray. We grew up knowing, having praying parents. All of our, my mom, when she started praying, everybody would just be sad because you know, the prayer will be long. Everybody knew how to pray. We grew up knowing, having, we grew up in an, so you saw your parents pray. Why you don't want to pray? Eh? We say, pray, mother. They've been praying for you. They'll mention everybody in the family. Pray and pray, pray. But their first give thanks, 30 minutes has gone. All of you saw that, but you want instant prayer. That's why you are like that. You know, many of our parents, God bless them, they don't know, but they don't have so much light, but they have some level of dealing with God. They have dealings with God. It's because their culture, they cultivated. My mom, I could say, growing up, my mom prayed every day. I saw her, know her. You pray in tongues, even though our tongues was Asian tongues. You know what I'm talking about? Kakashika. But I saw that. And I saw that for years. I'm talking about over a period of 20 years. I left home. Sometimes when I go home, she still does it. At least she has been doing that for over 30 years. Eh? So are those things not good things? You want to rob believers from that. People will now be doing all kinds. And we must never try that in this order. Because we are going to raise a bunch of people that have knowledge without life. Eh? We are a prayer people. What did I say? Prayer is part of the core of our dealing with God. Amen. Let's move on. Okay. Pastor Friday.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Angel Pelo Mene has the pony. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Helene Mantis is a proclamina morning. This is a burden heavy in my heart. This is a burden heavy in my heart. This is a burden heavy in my heart. Because higher limbs in my body.
Yeah.
Higher limbs in my body disconnecting my saints from me. Disconnecting my people from me. Oh, higher limbs in my body creating distance between me and my flock. Creating distance between me and my flock. Higher lean in my body. Profiting from the state of the church.
Yeah.
Merchandising the ignorance of my people. My heart is heavy. I'm not happy with such. They have agreed with the wicked one. I will visit them. I will come to them. Even I have come to many, but they did not give heed to me. But I will come again to them.
Amen.
I will come again to them.
Amen.
I am the head of the church. I am the owner of the church. I'm not weak, but I'm giving them time to repent.
Amen.
I'm giving them time to change. But surely I will shut down that system.
Amen.
Surely I will judge that system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Surely I will deliver my people. Surely I will set them free. Amen. Surely I will bring them and lead them to the place where they will have good pasture, where they will have pasture, where they will grow, where
Amen.
They will have pasture, where they will grow. I will set them free from that bondage.
Amen.
But I speak to you. Take root down in what you are doing. You agree with me to build you, because a lot of you here are the salvation of those people in bondage. Hear the Lord.
Can we all say amen to that? So, you know, so we all believe it. Can we all say process? So the cross is that process of transformation, okay? Where we are being, you know, where the wisdom of God is being administered to us and we are growing daily and consistently, okay? Nothing can replace that. Nothing can replace that. Believe me. And I think the greatest joy of a true minister is for the saints to be taught to know God. My joy is to teach you how to pray so that you can pray. And that you can call on God. If you're a man here and you have a home and, you know, you must know how to call on God. A man should be the head of his family. Should be the priest of his home. Should be able to talk to God and open the heavens of his family. Can we say amen to that? So number four, let's move to the fourth burden, okay? I'm sure you are getting, you know, some stuff out of this. Okay, so we need to judge truths that elevate supernatural encounters more than sound doctrine. We need to judge truths that elevate supernatural encounters more than sound doctrine. Do I believe in supernatural encounters? Yes. Okay? I believe in visions, dreams, and prophetic experiences. And I believe that they are administered to us as the Spirit wills. Now, there's a caution, okay? That when it comes to supernatural encounters or prophetic encounters, they must be monitored by the Spirit. What did I say? They must be. They asked by the Spirit. So, you know, visions. In fact, in the last days, they are going to become they'll become part of our natural reality. So I believe in them. However, the Bible is the highest form of prophecy. The Bible is the highest form of prophecy. It will be wrong to elevate your prophetic experience more than the purity of Scripture or the purity of sound doctrine. So, the best your prophetic experience can do is to lead you back to the Word. That's how I used to judge prophetic encounters. You know, even dreams. As powerful as dreams are, okay, the dreams you must see Word inside dream. That's how you know that some dreams, when you have just knock it away, there's no Word inside. There's no love inside. There are some dreams, when you have it, you start getting suspicious. There is a problem with that dream. Satan is a master in, if he knows that that's your strength. And that's why doctrine must be higher than experiences. Satan can give you a dream and you see your pastor chasing you with cutlass. No. I'm telling you this thing so that you know. Some people have called their mom witch. Evil spirit can wear faces. I've seen all kinds of things. And that's why for me, as much as I believe in prophetic encounters, they are subjected to truth. You cannot make me see, love is a doctrine.
Yes, amen.
So now when you have an experience and what is coming out of the experience is suspicion, you know that there's something wrong with that experience. It's an evil spirit that gave you.
Yes.
There are some in cold dreams I've had. I just knocked it off immediately I woke up. Because you cannot make me disbelieve the word.
Amen.
No dream can make me disbelieve the word. If it's a true vision and prophetic experience, it will amplify the word. It will lead you to the word. It will lead you to love, faith, the values of truth. Am I helping some people?
Yes,
hallelujah. So the Bible is the highest form of prophecy. That's why I say, I love Rejoinder. Because, Rejoinder has some very intimidating prophetic encounters. If you first read his introduction, he will tell you that these things, as good as they are, they are still subjected to the scrutiny of scripture. That's powerful. You cannot intimidate me with your experiences. Because they are still to be judged by scripture. He will tell you. I remember those years when I first read Final Quest, I read the introduction. I was so humbled by just reading the introduction. Because John had a lot of prophetic encounters in series. Some of them were open visions. So it's not even dream. You know, because dream is still subjected to a lot of influences. But when it comes to a vision is what you saw. A vision is, that's why when it comes to prophetic experience, they are not on the same category. Oh, come on, are you ready for this? They are not on the same category. When it comes to a vision, you can't add to it. It's very hard to add to a vision. Because you are seeing a screen. You are seeing a screen like this. You know, a trance is still more, is in between. You are involved somewhere. But most of what Agin had were visions. And so they were not subjected. The Lord brought vision. Imagine if he was coming through dreams. We may have doubted it.
Yeah.
But when it's vision, it's like the Lord Jesus. Again, I don't know. You know what I said? It's like you see Jesus sitting near you. This one don't be say you are Zoom. Because when it comes to dreams, you still need type and shadow. It's still symbolic. Are you following me?
Yeah.
I've taught these things before. I think we need to do 1 month on all these prophetic things and do it in terms of Bible. When it comes to vision, you are seeing Jesus sitting you down, talking to you. Many prophetic people don't have that kind of experiences. And Hagin was still humble. He was still a man of the word. If you have that kind of experiences like that, you should not believe in the word anymore. So like I said, so the Bible is that. So why we don't despise prophetic encounters? We don't despise prophecies or prophetic experiences when they come. The issue is that they are not generic. You can't be having vision every day. I know that one. God can take you to, and maybe some people that are called into the office of a prophet. Some people are called into that office. So they regularly go through that experiences for the purpose of edifying an assembly or the body of Christ. Like Joyner's visions were for the church. Bob Jones also had some experiences for the church. So we have people that they have dealings in that area based on calling. But when it comes to life, it's not always like that. You cannot trust vision to live life on earth. You cannot be trusting vision to marry, vision to go to work, vision to enter bus, vision to walk in love. Sheyuan, are you listening to me? You can't be. So that book, How to Be Led by the Spirit, is a very good book. Very fundamental. It's very fundamental. And it helps you to be what? Properly balanced. So the Bible is there. So why we believe in prophetic experiences and encounters as the Lord brings them, and we are open to them. Okay, because we saw many of them in the book of Acts. Peter entered into a trance. We saw Paul had visions. So all those things are part of church life. Can we say amen? However, the Bible or sound doctrine, now the Bible is the highest form of prophecy. Okay? What you saw in a dream cannot change what is in scriptures. Never. Never. What you saw in a dream cannot change the truth in scripture. You know, some people have even had encounters with Jesus and he didn't say anything. But Jesus taught Hagin. That is really, really very rare. And he was not teaching it. Jesus was expounding Bible. Am I right? Pastor, he was teaching in Bible. That's very powerful. Jesus can appear to you and not say anything. Okay, that's a level. But when Jesus appeared to you and he's expounding Bible. So even in the vision, he's telling you that the word is higher. Hallelujah. So I'm not against prophetic experiences. I've seen a lot of prophetic people in the past that fell into that trap. They had a lot of prophetic experiences that Satan took an advantage to tilt them away from doctrinal soundness. Okay? Can we all say amen? So that's why in scripture, what we see documented to us are doctrine. Apostles did not teach their encounters as doctrine. So my prophetic encounter is not a doctrine. That is why I believe Joyner wrote what he wrote. Because you see, he had a prophetic experience. But that prophetic experience, what he did was to illustrate the word. That's why, and it's good. Because you have to bring the experience under the word. If you don't do that, you can lead people into another dimension. So I'm teaching you this so that you understand that whatever prophetic experience you have is subjected to doctrine. It's subjected to sound doctrine. Can we say sound doctrine? So the word of God is the highest level of prophecy. So why we believe in prophetic encounters as the Spirit will administer them, okay? Prophetic encounters. In fact, in the last days, the scripture says God will pour out his Spirit. People will be having visitations. People will have prophetic experiences. Our children will see heaven. Yes, they will have those things. I think one time, what was Olubi that was encountering one experience he had when he was age 6. I will not forget. He had a prophetic experience that was like Pilgrim's Progress. Yes. He couldn't remember everything, but as he was saying, I knew it was a genuine experience. Our children are having experiences. So many of them are visiting angels. And then angels is visiting them. And they need this. Can you say amen?
Amen.
At times when a child can come to a meeting because of move of the spirit, there's encounter. Maybe an angel. You know, angels are in our meetings. And they don't physically show themselves. At times they may show you themselves. You may see. A child can just see an angel. He will scream. That screaming, there's something that we move into his spirit.
Yes,
impartation. I believe in move of the spirit. I believe in move of the spirit. I believe in impartational environments. I believe in it. But the word takes precedence.
Yes,
the word takes precedence. One of the things that crippled Azusa revival was that they were just having encounters. No doctrine. It didn't last more than 6 years. The thing fizzled away. It couldn't. You can check. You can read the history yourself. It was not built on doctrine. I also don't believe in people that teach what without the power of the Spirit, without demonstration and moves of the Spirit. The environment will be dry. So we have people that, you see, the word does not give room. If he wants to finish 8, he finish 8 on the dot. You know, 7 to 8, Bible study. It doesn't give room. I'm not saying don't be disciplined with time. I'm only saying that you have to give room to move of the spirit also. No. We don't want too much demonstration because I'm a Queen Shosh. So we have to be able to balance that. You cannot edit move of the spirit out of meetings of saints. You can't do that. Jesus can invade us anytime. Holy Ghost can invade us anytime. Can we say amen? Many of us in this assembly have wanted to teach. We have moved of the spirit many, many times. Okay? God will always do that. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I'm not against prophetic experiences. We'll just be put in this proper order. We need prophetic demonstrations in the church. However, all of them are subjected to sound doctrine. Okay? Number 5. We need to learn to balance truth which are two sides of the same coin. We need to learn to balance truth, which are two sides of the same coin. And let me explain what I mean by that. We that are in the dissemination of doctrine we must learn to stay at the middle of the road in the demonstration or in delivery of doctrine. I am still learning. As I'm growing, I'll get better. Okay? We must learn to harmonize truth. And that is wisdom. At times, you know, you need wisdom to harmonize truth. Eh? So that they don't look, because at times, for instance, it's very difficult to balance, you, God wanting you to be prosper, and you not be covetous. Because if you are not careful, Satan will stay there and say, contentment, be content. And now, yes, God wants us to be content, but God wants to bless you. Now, Satan will now stay in that area of contentment that will not give you even the opportunity to open up your heart for God to bless you. So, Otishit, yes, sir. He's using truth to finish you. It's the same Bible. And that's what Satan does. When Satan was approached to Jesus, he said, is it not written? The scripture is using. So, when God, for instance, is opening up your heart concerning blessing, maybe you're in a season of your life and God is leading you and he's telling you that, okay, do this and do that. Satan will now come and tell you. The Bible says you should be content. Yes, he can do that because he knows that a season may be over your life when God wants to bring increase. You know that in a season when God wants to bring increase, God might be leading you to, for instance, to do more research. Very, very true. The same Holy Ghost that led you to pray will lead you to read and go and do research. It's the Spirit that is leading you because he wants to open. Because at times, God needs information to even speak some things to you. And that is when you now be lazy. You now say, I want to read my Bible. You are foolish. Because you don't know that the Holy Spirit that teaches you to read your Bible is the same Holy Spirit that wants to give you wealth. And he cannot do it in a vacuum of what? Ignorance. And that's why you now begin to see, you know, you don't say, I don't understand why we mess up in this area. You will not be able to know the difference. You now say, bright, you are not praying well. You will not be hearing something to be like the Holy Spirit. He's a familiar spirit. He knows you very, very well. What he wants to do is just to limit you. So you need wisdom.
Amen.
You need wisdom. That's why I talked about laziness. Get my message on Tuesday. A very, very important message. Because someone that is lazy, that's when a lazy person that will be saying contentment all the time. He does not see the ability that God can give you capacity to generate so much wealth that can be a blessing to the gospel. The reason why God wants to give you wealth is not for yourself. So do I believe in condemnation? I believe I preached it well, but I also know spirits that stay in one area. And it's not, that's not even contentment, it's laziness. In most cases, because you are not responding to God adequately. You not do things you are supposed to do. Holy Ghost will give you an idea, you do nothing about it. You will not prune it, you will not do anything, you will not do research. You don't know how to write a business plan. You don't know how to write a business proposal. And you are praying the Spirit all the time. The Holy Spirit has not told you to go and learn it. So that business idea that God gave you in January 2023, you have done nothing about it a whole year. So you know that you can be disobedient when it comes to such areas. And you will not be qualifying yourself because you are coming to meeting. And you are judging yourself by you coming to meeting and responding to doctrine. Meanwhile, Holy Ghost gave you an instruction concerning an aspect of your life that is also vital. You will not play down on that. When you play down on that, you will suffer. You will suffer lack and limitation. And in that area, your soul will not be prosperous. Because any instruction God gives you in any area of your life is for the salvation of your soul, including your business and your career. Your career is spiritual. Your business is spiritual. Stop separating them. They are part of your work with God. So, yes, you have to be able to handle your work from the lenses of the Spirit. You handle your business by the direction and leading of the Spirit. So when God is giving you instructions concerning your business, you know that it's not you. You have learned to subject yourself totally to God. You have learned to how will I put it? That's Proverbs 3 verse 5. You have learned to trust the Lord with all your heart. You don't lean on your own understanding. That is what doctrine helps you to do. It takes away all those things that constitute as darkness and limitation so that you can hear God very well. And God can say, okay, this year I want you to position your business like this because I want to bless it. Oh, Nigbonye. I mean, when God says he wants to bless it, maybe God has something in mind. If God is not even thinking about you, he's thinking about many people. And then a religious spirit will come and limit you in that area and limit what God wants to do. We say no to that.
Amen.
We are people that will be very thorough and holistic. We will apply Bible properly.
Amen.
No shades, no veils. So we must learn to what? Balance truth. That's it. We learn to harmonize truth. We learn to balance truth with two sides of the same coin. We must learn to balance faith with works. That's why James says faith without works is dead. He says, show me your faith. How did they put it? Take me to James. Some people believe in God, they don't do anything. They don't understand that those works are not works in the flesh. They are works as a result of obedience to faith. It is in James 2. So I'm just using this in the basic term because all this, they also have application in the salvation of your soul and your walk in the spirit. But I want to use it concerning in a most basic sense. Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. A man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thee my faith by what? My works. So when you have faith, we will see you also take faith actions over time. Yes. So we need to understand, we balance faith, believing in God, from works. I call it proper inspired actions of the spirit. That's what I call works. We must balance the undying love of God with the wrath of God. God loves you. God loves you and is merciful and is kind. But God is a judge. God is a key person. We need to tell this generation that God is merciful. God can be very merciful. But God can also kill a man. God can kill a man. Don't play with God. Nobody should take God for granted. I began to think about it that we should fear God. Every believer should fear God. You should fear God because if you have an issue with God, who will you go? You don't understand. If you have an issue with God, who will you report him to? If you have an issue with man, you can still talk to God. But if you have an issue with God, you are finished. So may you never have an issue with God.
Amen.
Then, and if you want to have an issue with God, it's a sin. So you need to understand that. You need to understand the merciful side of God. He's a tender God. God is a good God, though. God is merciful. He will give you things that you don't want it. You don't want it. In most times, he does that. How many of you have things in your life that you know were light, a lie, you know what? Along Shanwenisa. God gave you a wife that you don't want. God gave you an husband you do not want. God gave you a job that you don't want it. God, you lived a terrible life. You prostituted. You aborted. You got born again. God still gave you a child. Meanwhile, some people that were holy, they never born. God is merciful. So I mean, I know that one. However, that same God, he has wrath. There's something called the wrath of God. There's something called the consuming fire of God. This generation must know that. So you have to balance those two sides of the coin. Why you know that God is a merciful God? You must know both the goodness and severity of God. You must know both the merciful and tender nature of God and the wrath of God. As you are growing, actually, in most cases, God starts with you, with his goodness and his mercy. As you grow, it will start with a side of the coin. Later, as you grow, we'll teach you the other one. You must know about the mercy and judgment of God. You must know it. For some people that probably know that God is a God of judge, then you also truly know that God is a God of love. He's also merciful. He's kind. You know, some of us, we are unmerciful to sinners. When we hear that somebody made a mistake like this, hey! Sin in the church. Sin in the pulpit. Men of God sinning up and down. Oh God, take him easy. God knows before he called that man. God knows his weaknesses. He has factored everything in place. Because he put anointing on him. God is not foolish. God knows that that this man is prone to this. He still called him. He still anointed him. God is not foolish. Take it easy. If you check the justice systems of God, someone like David is a bad person. You're a bad boy. Very bad boy. Now, if you compare David and Saul, when it comes to morality, Saul is far better. But you don't see the way God judges. And the Bible doesn't say, I have a man after my heart concerning Saul. The Bible did not build the tabernacle of Saul. The Bible is not building the tabernacle of Saul. The Bible did not have sure mercies of Saul. If there's anybody that can teach you mercy, it's David. He enjoyed God's mercies. He knew some things about God. Yes, he was a man that had flaws. David had some terrible flaws. God still showed mercy in his life. God dealt with him, but God still used that to make him better. David plotted the death of a man because he wanted to sleep with his wife. That is evil. But David had a heart that quickly repented when God convicted him. Will you have that kind of heart? And God judged David. God chastised David. How many of you know that God chastised David? That child died. But David packed himself. After, you know, the very interesting thing about David is that after all that, David went, he began to pray. I'm praying for a Davidic heart. I need that heart in my life. What a man. He went to God beside praying. God, show mercy. God, show mercy. Eventually, he was fasting. You know, he was in sackcloth. When Bathsheba's first son died, David said, see, no offense with God. No offense with God. And then God showed mercy again. That same Bathsheba gave birth. Hell! If it's Pharisee, they will. Hey! Holiness! God's systems of holiness is not man's. Now I know that man has his own holiness. There's no justice in it. The justice of God is his righteousness. Is the way God sees it. That same Bathsheba gave birth to Solomon. He gave birth to Solomon that built God's temple. Should that be the person that should build God's temple? The person that should build God's temple must be the son of the first wife. According to the righteousness of man. He thank you. He must be the legitimate son. I think he says at times in a polygamous home, maybe he's the son of the last wife that will be the anointed man of God. Why does God do things like that? Everybody say righteousness. It is God. He has a prerogative to decide what is right. If you don't see things the way God sees things, you will offend God. Say, why is God like that? Why do you still use David? God use him more. For instance, if God is not a merciful God, should you use a killer, Saul of Tarsus, to be the greatest? One of the greatest men that blessed the church in such a man. Think of Shekau becoming an apostle. You need to understand that. Think of Shekau. Law Akbar. I'm not a liar. Kill people. He killed all your brethren. He killed your apostles. He killed them. And yet, God look at that man and say, you'll be my vessel. If you fight that, you'll fight God. You fight God's righteousness. You fight God's prerogative. God has the right to pick any man and bless any man. When it comes to leading redeem, Adeboye was the least person. He came last. He came like somebody not qualified. Yet, God raised him. Say, you are going to be my last leader for redeem. Anybody that fought that, fought God. You fought the righteousness of God. So God is merciful. You need to understand that. You need to understand two sides of the same coin. If you don't know that, you will offend God. At times, if you are true with somebody, does not mean God is true with that person. You are true. God is not true. I remember many years, one message that my pastor taught, you know, while I was serving the ministry, I'll never forget, from mess to message. God is the God that makes message out of messes. So if your life is full of messes, welcome to God's family. Because it's your life that God will demonstrate glory from. Oh, I'm not hearing your amen. God is a master of using messed up lives to bring out a message. Check the lineage of Jesus Christ. There were yeah people in quotes that were there. Prostitutes. Judah, he went to sleep with somebody. Eh? All kind of people with what God life. It was that same lineage that Jesus came from. Normally, Jesus will come from an holy lineage of priests. Pure people from the beginning to the end. Hallelujah. Eh? Praise God. I can't hear your amen. So we must learn to balance God's holiness and purity with his mercy. We must learn to balance the sovereignty of God and the responses of man. Two sides of the same coin. We must learn to balance God, prosperity and consecration. Two sides of the same coin. God is holy, yet God wants to bless you too. The holy God is also concerned about your comfort. Some of you, you know, there's a way you see God. You don't think that God cares about your comfort. Paul says, I know how to abase and abound. Some of you, you always abase. And if God say abound, you'll be fighting God. God, see, not so, Lord. God says, no, I want you to enjoy small. I have plans to get you a good Jeep. You can't even think Jeep. You know, if you think car. Jeep, you think Jeep, you feel, say, ah, you think Jeep, you say, oh Lord, you repent. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking that I should ride a Jeep. I am not worthy to ride a Jeep. Hallelujah. You know, those are the things we did. You know, we subscribe holiness to the way some people dress. So, you know, if you dress in a way, you are not holy. Pastor Friday is not holy anymore. Daddy is not holy. He's wearing chain now. When we started this ministry, he didn't used to wear chain. We need to pray for daddy's backsliding. Now he's wearing more rings now. The love of this world. I will see dress fighting. You never see anything. You never see anything, sir. Eh? Because if I witnessed this, I did it well. You didn't talk then. Now, I will do this one too well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, we must understand who God is. God that does not want you, God that wants you to be content. When they say contentment, it's not limitation. Contentment means that God wants to bless you 1 million naira and he wants you to be content with 200,000 for yourself. The 800,000 is for kingdom purpose. So contentment is not limitation. Get that into your mind. Contentment is limiting you not to have so much more than you can use. But God wants to bless you more than what you can use. So you can use godliness and contentment in the wrong way and you have strong good. If you have, how many rooms can you sleep in a house? If you have 5 houses, it's not a blessing. Are you not going to house people that don't have a house? Why don't you think that way? So contentment is not supposed to be limitation. It's just supposed to limit you. So that you not sleep one room today. Say, ah! So that let's go and sleep in the other house. Ileme lolofer soon. That's contentment. That you can afford. You can have the cap. You have 3 cars and you can give out 1. But if you have 1, can you give that 1 out? No, you can't. But you know that is those are sacrifices. Eh? It's not all the time. But if you have one, let me say your family is using one car, you can give it out if God says so. But I'm saying that it's better God bless you with two or three so that you can give out. That's what I'm saying. So when you have a mind of limitation, you cannot be a blessing. So nobody should have that issue in their mind. Open up your heart to God. Because I know there are religious people that stay around lack as being holiness. They are terrible spirits. The church has fought them. We are not going back there anymore. That's why they raised people like Kenneth Copeland. They were raised to deal with those devils. Have you heard as poor as a church rat? You think those things are just idioms? They were realities. Satan fought the church for not having resources. He doesn't want us to have resources. Get that into your mind. They were idols. Those are the things they fought. So we shouldn't go back to what they have dealt with. Those are the things they fought. That's why God raised all those men, faith men that taught the prosperity from a biblical perspective. So that the church will understand the economy and how God wants to bless believers. Not just bless you, make you a blessing. Amen. If the Lord did not do that, we will not have resources to preach the gospel.
Yes, sir.
You have not seen Satan oppressed people with poverty mindsets, dealt with them, limited them. Satan did that before. We are not going to allow it again. The church has moved beyond that.
Amen.
Now, because they are excessive with prosperity, does not mean it's not a true truth. So we take up the excessive, we stay with the truth. Hallelujah. So I believe in prosperity. I believe it in all my soul. But I also believe in contentment. I believe in abasing. And I know how to abase. My wife will tell you, well, when resources come, I know how to enjoy. Hallelujah. I'm not to enjoy. God will bless us so much that some of you will be blessed. You'll be sending your pastors on holiday abroad.
Yeah.
Say, Pastor Friday, it's time for you to go to Dubai. Pastor Friday, it's time for you to go to Dubai. And you buy his ticket and say, Pastor, is my honor to send you to Dubai for 1 week holiday.
Yeah.
That is what you need resources for.
Amen.
When your pastors are doing gifts, you just, a surprise car. You just bring it. Pastor, we want to honor you for serving us. Pastor CG, take this Toyota Land Cruiser 2023 for serving the flock. That is what we use money for. That is what we use money for. That the homeless can be housed. That we can build estates that they are free estates for people living. People will register, we check them, we look at them, we pray. They live in free houses.
Amen.
That is what you use money for. Yeah. You know that there are people that stole money in Nigeria. They have built houses in Abuja.
Yes, sir.
Some of you, God will bless you to the point that you will build houses for your brethren.
Yeah.
I'm not talking for your power. You will build houses for your brethren. Families building houses for families. You will have built the house finished, you give them the key. A family, sister, a family, brother, hope. This is the key to your 4-bedroom bungalow apartment. See, people just be fainting. That is where love not they go beyen. Charity will go beyen, sir. Okay, praise God. Let me just go ahead. I believe I'm just confirming what is being said. It is a season where God wants to bless us. Not just, God wants to bless us natural blessings. We are in that season. I just believe that, you know, the conditions are being, God wants to lift up many of the saints.
Amen.
Do we all believe that?
Yes,
you know, one very powerful thing about Deeper Life Christian Ministry, and I want to use them as an example. You know that Baba may not directly preach prosperity, but he was preaching it indirectly. Let me tell you why. When they emphasize holiness, and you cannot see a deeper life that is lazy. You are not following Baba's teaching. They have integrity, they have honesty, they have diligence, and they are holy. God will bless you. There's no way you'll not be blessed. When Deeper Life were going to buy properties, when you know that is, you know, they took time to build that building. Hey, they were buying property. If you say your property is 10 million, they say, we give you 15 million. People were buying willingly. There was resources. Where do you think those resources were coming? Believers. God bless believers that their hearts had integrity. Excellence in work. Deeper Life people have excellence. They may not be dressing at fine, but when it comes to their work, they do their work well. Many of them are professors, bankers, academicians, successful. So we cannot be lazy and God will bless us. So people should be tight, upright and doing. Whatever you do, do it well. You be diligent with your work, diligent with your duty. And don't tell me that it's Babylon. If you tell me that, if I catch you, when you are handling your work, you handle it with integrity of heart. Commitment. That you know that God can bless that fashion business. You know that God can bless that bakery that you are doing. You know that God can bless that makeup industry that you are doing. It can become a multimillionaire. That is the heart you should have. When you are teaching in a school, teach well. Because God can give you your school. Or God can make you the head of that school. A particular time, people were looking for Deeper Life people to put in roles because they had honesty. And many of them were promoted and they were sitting on money. So I don't believe in an unethical emphasis on money. I don't. Because I don't see it in scripture. But I believe in prosperity. Because it's there. The Bible wants us to prosper. Even as our souls what? Prosper. Okay? Let's go on. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Number six, we must not judge a ministry or a truth solely on external signs, but on the inward formation of character. We must not judge a ministry or truth or a work solely by external signs, but inward formation of character. Most believers tend to, judge based on externalities alone. We thank God. God does great things. He's a God of miracles. He's a God of signs and wonders. But God is a God of accuracy. God does not play down on accuracy. Accuracy of scripture, accuracy of character. He does not do that. Okay? We need to understand that deception in the last days will be predominant because men have lost God's systems of judgment. Men will judge based on signs and wonders. We see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He talked about the coming of the wicked one. Take me there. So when you build a ministry on signs, wonders, externalism, branding, packaging, we see that. And it lacks character. There's something false about it. It's not the system of God. God builds from inside out. God builds from inside outwardly. Satan builds from outside. Satan is the one that packages. I said, that's why I said there's a difference between metamorphosis and metaschematizo. They are both transformation. So there is God's transformation. God changes you from inside. Satan does not change inside. He starts from outside. And he stays outside. And that's why when you clean the inside of a cup, the outside becomes what? Automatically clean. Focus on inside. So when we are saying we are focusing on Christ, we are not stupid. When we are focusing on salvation, so we are not stupid. We are building with the systems and wisdom of God. If you change a man on the inside, his external will arrange. I don't know if you are following me. I can't hear your amen. So when you build ministries or you judge based on externalities, you it will be difficult to be able to judge if Satan is the one that is at work. Because the coming of the wicked one will be what? With all power and lying signs and wonders. And that will increase in the last days. There will be a lot of lying miracles, lying signs, lying wonders. Now, please, take note. If there are lying miracles, lying signs, and it means they are true ones. There is no counterfeit if the truth does not exist. Then you can never have a counterfeit if there's no originality there. So there will be also in the last original miracles. I'm not hearing your amen.
Amen.
Raw original miracles. Power. Full miracles, signs and wonders done through God's people and his saints. Can we all say amen to that? So deception in the last days will be accompanied by lying signs and wonders. We must discern by fruits, not by signs. Write that down. We judge by fruits, not by signs. However, God promises to what? Pour out his spirit in the last days. We should never de-emphasize miracles, signs, and wonders. We don't do that. God himself will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. People will come into prophetic encounters with God. Powerful. There will be miracles done. You know, I read some prophetic visions of the last days from several prophetic people while I was growing up. You know, many, many things will be done. There's this guy, I forgot, is it Tommy Hicks? He was talking about the body of Christ in the future. Very powerful. And maybe I can try to gather some of those prophetic things. God has plans for the future. Can we say amen? Great things will be done. I've had visions that I've seen very notable signs and wonders done through ministers. Notable ones. Notable. Some were very rare. In fact, I saw some prophetic encounters in the order of Elijah. Yes, I saw them in the future with ministers in this part. I saw, you know, those prophetic encounters where Elijah will just disappear. You won't be able to catch him. I saw some of those things. That there were some ministers in this order that some governments were hunting them. Government of nations because of the strength of the gospel of the kingdom. Shaking nations and shaking territories. That some of them, the reason why they couldn't catch them is that they had chariots of fire moving them. I saw them. I was shocked. Moving them from territory to territory. That day will come upon the earth. So, my mind is not closed. I'm only showing you that we build on the inward formation of the nature of God inside men. And we judge because by fruits, by their fruits, you shall know them. That's in Matthew 7. Jesus was giving us the wisdom of judging true ministries. Now go up a little bit from verse 15 quickly. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep clothing. So a false prophet does not come like a false prophet. He packages himself. But inwardly they are what? Raveling wolves. Next verse. You shall know them by what? Their fruits. Do men gather grapes or tons of figs or tissues? Next verse. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth what? So you can judge a ministry by their fruits. The accuracy of a ministry by their fruits. What is coming out as the fruits? And that is why we must make, this is where we always make sure that the source is right. The waters are clean. It's labor. That's one thing that ministers of the gospel must do. You labor that the water source is not polluted. Because if Satan pollutes it, it affects the growth. And the products. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Okay, number 7. We judge truths that, judging truths that make excuses, that excuses the flesh. Judging truths that make excuses for the flesh. When I mean the flesh, the old man. It is a constant thing in scripture that we must put up the old man. Any truth that pampers the old man, is actually wrong. Dead on arrival. Because if you see an emphasis in scripture that God does not want to improve the old man. He wants to kill it.
Amen.
Oh, what did I say? He wants to kill it. They don't want to improve it. One minister of the gospel said, Jesus does not want to improve you. He wants to remove you. I like that. Remover of what you call the whole man. Because there's something called high in him. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Yet not high. Yet not high. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not high. So there are two eyes there. Nevertheless, I live, yet not high. But Christ liveth what? In me. So, and then Christ does not live in you until the old man is dead. So they have to remove one, to install another man. So that's why I'm saying that Jesus does not want to improve you. He wants to remove you so that he is what? All and all in you. So Jesus has an identity in all of us. He has a personal, there is a Jesus that is bright. There is Christ bright. There is Christ Friday, Christ Onesimus. There is a Christ version for every soul. It is Christ that will be applicable to you, customized to you, functional in you. But they must remove the old man. So any truths that make excuses for the old man to remain, run away. Run. There's one video I saw. Run, run. Maybe we can get that video. Churches that don't preach truth, run, run, run for your life. So scriptures always talks about putting on the old man and putting on the new. Okay? The truth of the gospel, the power of the cross always goes after the old man. The gospel that is true always goes after self. The gospel does not glorify self. It goes after self. Can we say amen? Amen? The cross is a major aspect of the gospel. Any gospel without cross is another gospel. Write it down. There's something called another gospel. Any gospel without cross is another gospel. The cross is the power of God for change. It's the power that converts you and changes you from flesh to becoming Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. The whole rugged cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the cross is always valid. You know, there's a way we have new messages in church today that has edited the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you the way you are, but he will not leave you the way you are. Just come the way you are. Just come the way you are. Hallelujah. Come the way you are. Yes, come the way you are. But bear in mind that you will not remain the same way. You will not remain the way you are. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. They have to go after your whole nature, your whole tastes, your whole appetites, the things that you love. That old man. Jesus is not glorifying flesh. He only glorifies things that are of God, things that are new. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
You know, you can help people with this message. You can help them so that they can have proper judgment. Number 8, judging doctrine that promotes instant success and wealth and de-emphasize the prosperity of the soul. Judging doctrines that promote instant success and wealth and de-emphasizes the prosperity of the soul. To live in Christ is to die to the world. And I can tell you, the godly in Christ will suffer persecution in this life. There's no way. If you follow Christ, the world will react. Worldly standards will react. When you are following Christ, your parents can go, hey, you won't waste your life. It's normal. You want to waste your life following Christ or following Jesus. The world will react. Standards in you will react. When you are using your resources to bless brethren, standards in you will react. Of course, brethren are not perfect. So standards in you will react that they are not worth it. And that is where you fight that standard with standard of God's word. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So anytime, all that will live godly in Christ, Jesus will what? Suffer persecution. I didn't say it. Paul said so. You suffer persecution from the system of this life. You suffer persecution not just from men, but from the systems of this life. You suffer persecution. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So while I'm not playing down being victorious, I'm telling you that we must give ourselves to understanding God's systems for blessing us. God wants us to be successful, no doubt, but not against the prosperity of your soul. Never forget that. And God measures prosperity first, not by what you have, but by who you are. What you have inside. So you can be prosperous. Because poverty is not first lack of money. It's lack of abundance of grace. That's what poverty is. Poverty is first a lack of abundance of grace. And prosperity is in the kingdom is not measured in money. It's measured with grace. It is that grace that now fetches the resources. If you don't understand that, you don't even understand the spirit world. Have you ever seen somebody sell nail and it builds 5 houses from nail? Oh, you didn't understand. Oh, you people don't understand. Yes. You go and do jazz. I say, hello, make you they chop this cola every day for 1 month. And the guy is saying, you know, when they tell you to chop cola for prosperity, you know, to make money, they are not telling you to change your business. You don't even know how to write business plans. You are selling nail for Alaba. Or maybe you are selling whatever in Alaba market. You are into engine parts. All of a sudden, spirit will breathe over, evil spirit will breathe over that business. You'll not start having money. So it means that the source to evil riches is in the spirit. You need to know that. I'm not saying we should play down on the natural things we need to do, but you need to understand that. Have you ever seen? I think I heard Bishop. They said Bishop has said one time that somebody was selling granite, built 3 houses. Does that make sense? Ekpa, everybody say ekpa. Ekpa. Odesi, kolemeta. That one is. Those are laws of prosperity. They defy natural planning. They defy natural sense. God can bless. You see, there's something that will come on what you do that will take it into the spirit. It's not your business is not a natural business. Spirit is a spirit enterprise. Angels are part of your marketing and sales officers. Spirit are part of the things that, you know, open doors for you. You need to understand that. And we have prosperity systems. Part of the system of prosperity is that you must never take things above God. You know all those people that worship Satan to get money? Satan is real to them. You know they play with Satan. If he say he wants anything, Satan can say, I want your wife. That's the end. Say you want all those living in bondage now. How many people are living in bondage? Guys' heads, they were rot. They were rotting. All kinds of things. They sacrificed their wife. They, you know, and they'll be enjoying money. They said, it's your wife I want. Your wife is the next sacrifice. It's going. So it means that the sacrifice to the deity is more than the money. Please, go put God in his place in your life. And every other thing will take their proper place. So what you need, so we need to understand the systems of God. Okay? So when you see a gospel that emphasizes so much on materialism, and the emphasizes on prosperity of the soul, that is Satan. Because what makes a man is not what he has. Naturally, is what God has worked in him first. You know that prosperity is first an inward work. If when you look at natural people that are successful, many of them can reproduce whatever they have in another place. People that, when you say businessmen, wealthy people, some of them, what they have. I've known some business people because, you know, I did business consulting and training for years. And we have done research on men that their businesses went down and they built it back again. Because what made them succeed has been worked on their inside. So they could reproduce it easily. It was not what they hold externally. It was the wealth inside them. So the true riches of the kingdom at the wealth of God inside you.
Amen.
That is what will open the natural.
Yes, sir.
So doctrine that you are growing in is sufficient to open the natural.
Amen.
Oh, people are not saying amen to me.
Amen.
Opens the natural. The natural will always bow to things of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, can we say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Number 9, okay? We're rounding up. We need to draw teachings that are not universal in their application. Teachings and patterns of ministry that are not universal in their application. Eh? But they are just denominational or particular to a group of people. We need to judge them. Why I'm saying this is that true kingdom teachings are universal. It is universal to be Christ. It is universal to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. It is not a message only preached in Nigeria. It is valid in Japan. It is valid in the United States. Those are the doctrines of the kingdom. We need to separate the doctrines of the kingdom and denominational doctrines. We need to separate doctrines of the kingdom, truths in the Bible, from ideas of men.
Yes, sir.
If we, in our ministry, we wear trousers in Nigeria, but when we go to, we don't wear trousers in Nigeria. When we now go to Abroad, we wear trousers. That is not doctrine.
Yes, sir.
That is ministry and ministry idea. Because trouser is only applicable in Nigeria. Covering of hair is only applicable where? In Nigeria. Then it's not consistent. But doctrine of the New Testament are consistent. You know, Matthew chapter 15, I think verse 5, talks about teaching the doctrines and traditions of men can make the word of God what of none effect. And that's why we have denominations where traditions of men, they have weakened truth. Because the most important thing is not the word, but traditions. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of what? None effect by your tradition. So, it's possible that the word of God takes a lesser place in a denomination. And traditions takes a upper one.
Yeah.
And if you are not like this, you are not qualified to be this. You know, those kind of things. When we start making them,
yes,
we already were sliding away. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
So the values of God are consistent from country to country, from territory to territory. We must never forget that. Okay? If the truth is preached in Nigeria, it's valid everywhere in the world. If it's God's word. Okay? Our churches must not be environmentally controlled by environmental or cultural spirits. We are not cultural churches. We are kingdom churches. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And we need to be very careful with culture. And I'm warning us, this is not an Ibadan church. I'm warning us again. Okay? Nana is a Yoruba speaking church. We have people that are Igbos here. We have people that are from other tribes in this church. Yoruba should not gain the prominence. Spirit should gain the prominence. Culture of the kingdom. Yeah. We should not have Ingbatin church or Indigbo church. This church is an Indigbo church or Ingbatin church. Mm-mm, no. We have kingdom churches. Territorial churches. No culture takes place. It's higher than any other. We don't raise culture above what? Culture of the spirit. So in an assembly, the culture of the spirit should be strong.
Amen.
The culture of love should be strong.
Amen.
We marry from all tribes.
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen?
You know, you can have a cultural church that the only people that are there are a particular culture. And if it's so strong, it can sense wrong signal about the work. People of other culture will not want to come there. Say, that church, Yaraba church. Yaraba church. So, you know, so God is raising kingdom people. Can we say amen? We are not cultural. We don't live by the cultural systems of the earth. Okay? In this environment, it does not matter where you come from. We connect. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. An Igbo brother can marry a Fulani sister. Love is our culture. Can we say love is our culture? So we don't marry from tribe. You know, how many of you have your parents warn you for marrying from a tribe? That doctrine is a doctrine, I'll show you know. It must die. And you can even have it when you're relating with brothers. When you see a brother that is from that tribe, you just say, they say, and because your parents told you that Igbo men, they are stingy. And then you have seen a brother, that is an Igbo brother, but he's a spirit Igbo brother. And then you use that doctrine to judge him. You're a sinner. Okay? So we need to understand that. We are spirit controlled people. We live by the patterns of God. And likewise, you must be very careful of what? Duplicating patterns. Patterns. Now let me talk a little bit on that. What should be common amidst assemblies is doctrine. Amen. When it comes to patterns, it is as the Spirit commands. So our patterns will not be the same. Our style may differ. Even when it comes, even assemblies in the same waters, their patterns will be different. The way because the way the God wires ministers are different is a deliberate thing. And patterns flow out that way. So when I tell our workers, I say we don't copy patterns, it's not pride. I understand the designs of God. We only do patterns as led by the Spirit. There are some patterns God will not permit. It may be okay for an assembly, it's not okay for you. Because it's not instructed or energized by the Spirit. God has a particular pattern that he wants to demonstrate in that assembly. And we must be open to God. Can we all say amen to that? I hope you understand it more than what I've said. Okay? So patterns are also particular. When it comes to patterns of ministry, they're always particular. Instructed by the Lord. Okay? New Testament patterns. As if you look, even the churches even Paul planted, they were not the same. If you study those churches very well, they were the same in doctrine, same in culture of the Spirit, but patterns and the activity of even what that church would do. So in certain territories, we may have a stronger expression of outreach in an assembly. So we need to understand all these things. By the time we enter church planting, we'll understand these things better. Because when we go and plant a church in an area, that church for a start might have to be strongly evangelistic. They might have to do crusades. We don't do crusades in this order. Who told you? Who told you? We may need to do crusades and get unbelievers getting born again. Put them, fill them with the Spirit and start feeding them. So we need to understand that. Okay? So even when it comes to church planting, even under the grace of a called servant of God, even the church planting will be done by the Spirit, according to the patterns of the Spirit that have been inspired. Hallelujah. Can we all say amen? So Jesus is our standard. Let's not forget that. All the time, Jesus is our standard. We need to judge truths that de-emphasize repentance and godly sorrow, confessing and forsaking sin. Particularly those that relieve us of our responsibility to our actions. God is a God of mercy. But we must confess, repent, and forsake sin. And that is still relevant. I've heard some people say that confessing of sin is sin consciousness. Such streams are not pure. Because they devolve the believer of their own responsibility to respond to God. So I believe in godly sorrow. The purpose of godly sorrow is to lead us to repentance. I believe in confessing our sins and our faults and asking God for mercy. I believe also in forsaking our former actions of sin and not going back into them. Those things are ironclad. They don't change. Can we say amen? And having godly sorrow is not being sin conscious. It is the prerequisite for repentance. If you don't have godly sorrow, you will not repent. And I check that as a pastor. When there's some people say they are sorry, I know they are not sorry. And because of that, they cannot change. Because for you to change, you must have godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is the foundation for true repentance. And you have to train your children that way. Everybody can play lip service to sorry. But are you truly sorry? To be truly sorry is that you have seen your wrong. When somebody is saying he's sorry, and when you talk to the person, he's still holding up to his former points. That person is not sorry. Such a person, just leave him alone. To be truly sorry is to see your wrong, accept your wrong, and change from your wrong. So that is valid. Because this generation, they don't like confrontation. When you start dealing, talking to people about changing, that's where you start seeing that this pastor is not a good pastor. He's not a loving pastor. You have a false understanding already that is a part of your life. Because you see, anybody, people that do well in life, there are people that were corrected over and over again. Go and check your history. And if you did not grow up under that environment, you will likely not do well in your walk with God. So when you see what I call unsanctified mercy, people that don't talk, confront sin and confront actions of men, people will not change. I can't hear your amen to that. Okay. So any teaching that plays down the work of the cross is false. God does not just want to pardon you of sin. He wants to remove it. So, you know, I can pardon you does not mean what is inside you will not happen again. That's why that's the activity of the blood in remitting sins. Because if you don't deal with the thing that is inside the person, he will do it again. So God is beyond, God can pardon you, but beyond pardon, what does he want to do? He wants to what? He wants to save that soul from that destruction. And that's why at times leadership also plays like that. You can come and tell me, Pastor, I'm sorry. I will forgive you. I have no choice. But beyond forgiving you, part of my responsibility as your shepherd is to also use the rod upon you. It's called the ministry of a shepherd has rod and staff. The rod is to break at times to help a soul. That is if you submit to that authority. It's the authority of the word that confronts an action that I know that this thing will destroy your life if you keep to it. And God is also like that. You need to understand that. Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear your amen. Amen. I normally leave people that want to have their way after a certain point. If I notice that you want to have your way, I will leave you alone. I will leave you to God. But I can tell you, God is a stronger shepherd. God will teach you by experience. You will learn 20 years time. What you don't learn, I've seen it happen, and I'm not threatening anybody. What you don't learn by instruction and wisdom, you will learn by experience. 20 years time, you'll be broken. Life will break you. Situation and circumstances will break you. Then you'll be humble by force. And then you now say, ha, I was told. You will learn. It's just the truth. Number 11. Rounding up. Okay? Judging truths that leads to exclusion, elitism, and pride. Judging truths or teachings that lead to exclusion from the body, elitism in the body, and pride. I want to say, doctrine should not promote pride. Any teaching that promotes an attitude of pride, a sense of superiority, an elitism, or sectarianism, is not healthy. No matter what is said. When you are in the body, you are not greater than anybody. The body is a leveler. And you conduct yourself in humility. Even when you are given authority in the body that is higher than others, you still condescend with men of low estate in the same body of Christ. Some of us, you know, we have that mindset. There's a way we look at churches, other churches. We are the one that has the cutting edge. When you have that kind of heart, you're not going to do well. And you will be shocked that some of those people know God more than you. I've seen that happen before. You know, I've entered that trap before, so I understand. You'll be sharing precepts. The person may not have your understanding, but God has dealt with the person. So the person, in a way, has certain dimensions of God that you don't have. But you know how to say it. You know how to say all the things about your life. You don't know how to have faith. But you talk faith of the Son. Oh, yes, I know. But you don't know how to have faith. Meanwhile, that person you are teaching, the person has used faith over the years. Has some dealing with God. So, humility of heart is that when you see some people that don't know what you know, but they have dealing with God, recognize it.
Amen.
Don't use Bobo. Recognize it. Because you too, you need things from people.
Yeah.
Be humble. Hallelujah. Amen. And God can still use you to sharpen that person. While you do that, also be humble at heart. Okay? So, we must be careful of the Elijah syndrome. The Elijah syndrome is that I'm the only one. We must be careful of the Messiah complex. I am the only one. If God has to leave the purpose of God to only a group, then there is a problem. Even we should not desire that. Because the whole world is big. I don't want to be the only one. I want God to raise men. It's my prayer. I want God to raise healthy churches also. Even if I don't know them, my prayer. Because I may not know everybody that is a proclamation of truth. The hurt is vast. Say, in this Nigeria, nobody has this word that we have. Shut up! When you say such things, you are an affront to the spirit of grace. Who told you you know everything that God does? Who told you that you can? When Elijah was saying that, he never knew God had 7,000 men. You know, God can shock anybody. This is Elijah, anointed of God, powerful guy. He did great things. He was in a slow season. He was discouraged. Truly he was. And he told God, this thing is too much. Like I'm the only one. God says, I have 7,000. Everybody say 7,000. Oh, you didn't say. Everybody say 7,000. Can you believe that? That's like a shock. Wahoo! 7,000 guys in this same place. He said, I have 7,000 people that have not bowed to Baal. God has things that he's doing that you know nothing of. So every minister, every ministry must be careful. When you are relating in the body, which is with humility of heart. There's nobody that is a sheriff of the body of Christ. You don't know. Jesus is the head. So he's the one that has sight of everything. Because the property of vision and supervision is in the head. So we don't know everything. We always should say that. It humbles the heart. I don't know everything in the Bible. No matter how anointed a minister is, he doesn't know anything, everything in the Bible. And he is not raised to be such. That is why we have the body. What I lack, some other person will have. Oh, is this a shock to you? By now, you should have known your pastor, amen. I mean, Pastor C.G., is this new to you? Can never be. If you have been with me for years, I will teach you this. If I see a young generation of people having pride, I tell you that you guys take it easy. Just take it easy. When you are in campus, be humble. While you are learning truth, learning this word, love your brethren. Love saints in other denominations. Show them some love. Show them character. Some of them will be repelled because of our character. And they will be attracted by our will. Not even by what we are saying. When they check our love, they are attracted. When they check our faith, they are attracted. When they check our openness of heart, they are attracted. The message lived is more powerful than the message said. Oh, glory to God. Finally, okay? And this is the final. Number 12. Judging truths that elevate men above the measure of Christ. We must never elevate men and equate them with Christ. No man is Jesus Christ. No pastor is Jesus Christ. There's a difference between honoring men and worshiping men. They are not the same thing. In the New Testament, we are taught to honor our leaders highly. And we must do that. Because of the work of grace in their lives. But no minister should be put in the place where Jesus is. Yes, the difference is that when you honor a minister, the grace of Jesus Christ on that minister will touch you. And you will see Jesus through that man. When a minister becomes the object of worship, he veils Jesus Christ. And because of that, Jesus will come for that minister. We have had moves of God that got there. People like Alexander Adowi, they got there. Some of the Brahmanites movement, they got there. An anointed man of God is not Jesus Christ. And I'm saying this, and I'm warning us, and I'm warning myself. So we honor our ministers. We love them. We pray for them. We must also know that they are not perfect. and they are prone to flaws. And that's why we pray for them. When, you see, the administration of the prayer of the saints is to keep the ministers. We need your prayers. We are not more anointed than your prayers. Oh, you didn't hear that. I said, ministers, we need the prayer of the saints. The prayer of the saints keeps us intact. You know, when a minister of God starts saying that he is the one that prays for people, he doesn't need prayer, it's a problem. He will get into a problem. You are the one that needs to change. He does not need to change. There is a problem. Ministers also hear message. In fact, you have to go and hear yourself. Because you have preached what you have not walked in. So you have to go and hear it. And with humility of heart, bring your body under. And say, Jesus, help me. I have said things I have not even walked in. Help me so that I can even walk in these things. So that's why no minister must be equated in the place of Jesus Christ. No movement should get there. Because Jesus will come and scatter it himself. I have seen that happen over and over again. We must never make that mistake. So the scripture teaches we give double honor to men that labor, particularly our leaders and our elders, our fathers in the faith that teach us the word. And we must do that. We are to love them highly and pray for them. And we follow them as they follow Christ. We don't follow their flaws because they are imperfect. Something I'm still trying to deal with in my life. Don't copy it. Because there are things I want to start with. I'm following daddy. Follow Christ in daddy. Don't follow flesh in daddy. Daddy still has some flesh. I'm saying that publicly now. So that, because some of you think that maybe I'm sitting on the throne already. Praise God. So there are things I'm still dealing with. I don't want you to copy that one. If you see me do something that is bad, pray for me. Don't copy that. And say, because daddy is doing it, let me be doing it. That one now, I've taught you now. So I'm free from your blood. I'm free. I wash my hands. Thank God that God is helping us too. I love my wife. I honor her. So you should honor your wife also. That is it though. But if you see me do something maybe that is wrong to my wife, don't copy that one. That's what I'm saying. You know why? Ministers are standards. And that's why God judges ministers. If an error of a minister can become standard to the people. An error of a minister can be anointed. It become an anointed mistake. And people will follow without thinking. Those extremes have happened in the body. So now, because we know we are perfect, we have to teach you right. Follow me as I follow Christ. I am under Jesus also. And I'm following Jesus also. And I'm letting you know that follow me as I follow Jesus. And I'm not supposed to veil you from Jesus. I am not the object of your pursuit. And at times, we need to be careful about some level of praise. This is the legacy of among men. Please be very careful. I am telling you, there are certain words that are not flattery. They are sin. They are not honor. They are sinful. No man should take some honor. There are some honor when you bring them. We say, this one is not honor, it's worship. This one belongs to Jesus. This one is not my offering. I am just but a man under Jesus. At times when some of you celebrate God's grace in my life, you see how I respond. Thank God for his grace. Because I'm nothing but, Jesus saved me. Jesus helped me. I can never take his place. I am no one without Jesus. So Jesus is the focus, not me. Jesus is the focus, not me. Anytime you see a movement where there's this focus on the man, there's always an issue at the end. There's one documentary that recently came to the internet. I won't say so much. But when I listened to some of it, it was so much about one man. One man. Abba. Jesus should be the person that is at the center. Jesus should be the person at the center. Jesus will be the one at the center. The reason why we are here is for you to know Jesus. We are here to serve Jesus. I am a born slave of Jesus. I have no business making myself known. That is not part of the job requirement. And if I do that work well and you don't honor me, I will still serve Jesus in dishonor. Because Jesus is the object, is the focus, is the reason, not a man. I'm not saying you should dishonor us. I've taught you that you should honor ministers. Even when you see a minister is falling short of a standard, you still honor that minister and pray for that minister. Because this is what I'm not taught to saints. Because oftentimes, the flaw of a minister becomes a surprise to saints. It's not a surprise. Because they are also men. It should not be. One minister said, okay, it was Pastor Bakari, my first one, he says, the best of men are men at their very best. So men have their flaws. They have their flaws also. They are also growing up. They are also maturing. They are also trusting God for something in their own lives. And I know that many saints have also suffered because of the limitations and the excesses of ministers. You know, at times we have to apologize on that on behalf of leadership at times. Some of the things that we have done that has wrongly affected the saints. We have to apologize because there's so much on leadership in the kingdom. But God is raising leaders that will be examples to the flock. In life, in conversation, in integrity, and that is where, that's the joy. God will raise leaders that mirror Jesus. They reflect Jesus. They're examples of Jesus. Because what those leaders, you know what leaders are? We should be like moon. We are not the sun. We are the moon. You know, the moon does not have a light of its own. That is what a minister should be. You reflect light from Jesus to the saints. So when people are looking at you, they are not seeing you. It is Jesus that they should see. So when you see a movement that men are not seeing Jesus anymore, then there's a problem. Something has happened. And you can see, at a particular point, God can choose to take that minister home. Because he's standing in his place. I'm saying this, sadly, that's happened in the history of the church. Those things should not be happening again. We must never negotiate the place of Jesus for any man. Nobody should be comfortable. And you must learn these things in your life. Maybe you do one miracle. Somebody pray for you and overnight they turn into a minister. Let them know that you're a brother. Because you gave a prophetic word that came to pass. I heard one minister, the way he was talking, he was getting rich on the grace of Jesus. If I gave a prophetic word, if I healed the sick, who did it? Can I do it without him? I'm nobody. Nobody should get to that point. God can use you in the future, some of you here. He can use you greatly. Never forget that Jesus is the object of worship. Some young ministers, that's how they rose. Because they had gifts. That's the end. Apostle. That does not make you an apostle. Has Jesus called you into that office? Jesus has not called you to that office. So we need to be careful of such things. So I teach you have to. There are some movements that don't honor their ministers. That's heretic. The Bible teaches it. The Bible teaches us that we highly esteem them in love. You should love your ministers and pray for them and take care of them. You take care of your ministers. You show them honor, double honor. But ministers should teach the flock to worship Jesus and not them. There was a time that Paul and Barnabas got to a place. They did a miracle. And men were already worshiping them. Jesus said, and they tore their clothes physically to show the act of penitence that we are not the ones. It is Jesus. The church must know this. The saints must know this. You know, if we are like this, it will keep us in check. That because God is still here to do great things through us. But we know that the greater we go, the more little we become. Hallelujah. Before Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we stand to our feet? Hallelujah. Let's begin to talk to God. Father, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. I want to begin to talk to God this morning and give him thanks. Father, we thank you. Lift up your hands and appreciate the Lord. If the Lord has blessed you through this series, I appreciate it. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him for speaking to our hearts. Thank him for speaking to our hearts. Ole kremeni shushumani elevrabapa kundiele breniso subani atebani. Oh, we give you glory, Lord Jesus. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him this morning. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, help us to be a people. Oh, giving to accuracy. Giving to wholesomeness. As we mature, keep us in the middle of the road. Cause us not to sway to the left or to the right. Help us to be focused on you. Let your grace be predominant in our midst. Lord Jesus, come on, talk to Jesus. Talk to him this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you thanks. We give you thanks. Thank him. Thank him also. For I believe the Lord has reached our hearts. And the Lord is teaching us this thing to keep us to the hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For you are committed to keeping us to the hand. Hallelujah. I give you praise. I give you glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been greatly blessed. For further information, you could visit our website at www.thecitygatechurch.org. God bless you.